Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Milwaukee, start your engines. It's time to talk about all things racing. NASCAR, IndyCar, sports cars, and Formula One. This is the Final Inspection Show, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Now, here's your host, Steve Zocchi.
And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with our friends at David Hobbs Honda. Make sure to check out DavidHobbs.com for all the latest in new and used vehicles. Yes, you can get a certified used vehicle as well as a new vehicle at David Hobbs Honda. Of course, I drive around in a beautiful white, pearl white Honda CRV, and I just love it. It's comfortable, and it even has enough pep for my right foot, especially getting on and off the expressway. So certainly appreciate it, and it was a fun, actually a very nice transaction at DavidHobbs.com getting that done. So we're about to get David here in just a moment, and talking Formula One, and last week with the Italian Grand Prix, it's amazing how much fun Formula One can be when the Mercedes aren't dominating the race. And that certainly was the case last week. You had a situation where number two driver of Valtteri Bottas was kind of slipped back to the back. And then you had a red flag issue with violation with Lewis Hamilton. In fact, let's get David online here, and we'll talk about the Italian Grand Prix from last week. David, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Steve. Thank you. Yeah, glad to be on it again, as always.
And I was just telling the listeners, it was amazing how much fun Formula One race can be when Mercedes isn't dominating the race.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, you better get ready for another one tomorrow, by the look of things. yes, it made for an interesting Grand Prix. As always, as I've always said, luck played a huge part of it, because Gasly was incredibly lucky because he just made his pit stop. And, of course, they let Lance Stroll change his tyres in the pits under a red flag, which is counter to all that ever used to happen for me. I mean, you weren't supposed to touch the car under a red flag. And there he was, changing his tyres, which gave... So anyway, he really would have finished about, you know, 6 or 7. So, but it did make for interesting racing, which of course has reintroduced all that stuff we went through last year about having reverse grids. And Ross Brawn, who this one, said that they're going to so people may get their wish in the end. So. I don't think the drivers are
terribly well, and you certainly saw that last week where you had Hamilton, because of it was an obvious violation, and it wasn't necessarily, you can't really, I mean, the team took the blame for it, but you could see it plain as day from the in-car coverage that he did pit under red flag conditions. But you had a situation with Hamilton coming up through the field, and then you had the unfortunate situation with Kimi Räikkönen with the Alpha team, who went with, with the softer tires and should have went with the mediums and just dropped like a rock. So you had one driver going up and one driver, unfortunately, falling through the field.
You did. And that was a bit unfortunate for Kimi. But on the other hand, I think Hamilton's display of mastery at the situation was still in it again. When you think that he finished up 7 seconds or 8 seconds, whatever it was, and two places behind Valtteri Bottas, his teammate, who, of course, you know, had been duking it out, never could get above about fifth. And Hamilton pulled through the entire field and caught up with him.
Yeah, I think that's a good point with Bottas because, I mean, when was the last time, I guess the unfortunate, I guess you could say fortunate or unfortunate, depending on your thinking, is, you know, Bottas hasn't been in that situation a while where he has to battle for position with these guys as close because usually he's following behind Hamilton in clean air. So yeah. I think it's an interesting, you know, situation where, you know, is he playing safe? In my opinion, he's the ultimate number two guy because he's never going to challenge Hamilton for that number one position. We've seen, especially in Formula One with politics, when you have two number one drivers on a team, it can definitely cause issues. But in this case, Bottas, I think, is the ultimate number two driver.
He's the perfect number two driver for Lewis, as was Rubens Barrichello for Michael Schumacher. I mean, the same thing. I mean, he was quick enough to beat everybody else, but he was never quick enough to beat Michael. He could have done on occasion, there's no doubt about it, and I think they stole a couple of races from him, which really wouldn't have made much difference to the World Championship, but it certainly would have made a big difference to his resume when you look at the, you know, wins and losses and that sort of thing. But you're right, Bottas does make a perfect second, and you know, guys like him are always saying, well, we might have to go somewhere else, but the fact is, you know, where else would you go?
Right. Yeah, and then you get... Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, the other big news, of course, is this week is Vettel going to the Aston Martin team next year, which is now Racing Point, which has already just changed its name once. Now it's going to change it again to Aston Martin. I think that's a big... I don't see him doing necessarily any better at Racing Point than he's doing at Ferrari himself, but difficult. You know, he wants to stay in racing. In Formula One, he doesn't want to do anything else, I don't think. But we have an interesting season coming up with a few more races. What are we going to end up with this year? 17 races, is it?
Total? I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, which actually, considering they didn't start till July, is pretty damn good.
Well, and I wanted to bring up Pierre Gasly, because here you have a situation where, you know, Pierre Gasly on the second, basically the second tier Red Bull team, goes out, wins a Grand Prix, and everybody's like, "Wow, I can't believe he got demoted." And then you have a situation this morning where he doesn't make it out of Q1. So, and I think that kind of, I think you understand why now he's, you know, why he's there and not at Red Bull, correct?
Well, exactly, and I'm disappointed in Honda engine this year. Although today, you know, Verstappen ended up just a hundredths behind Bottas and Hamilton. So the Honda, and this is a high-speed track again, although not as fast as last week. What was the speed this year, Paul? Do you know today?
I do not know, but I thought Red Bull was was closer. I think they were only three to five tenths off. It was a tighter field than it was last week.
Yes, a lot tighter. And so, I mean, Honda must be fairly satisfied with that. And but I mean, the Gasly Fiat. I mean, this is only the second time this year that the Fiat has out-qualified Gasly. So Gasly certainly seems to be the absolute number one in that AlphaTauri team, the second Honda group. And is he better than Albon? I mean, he was giving Albon a hard time last week, and he gave him a hard time at Silverstone. So I think Gasly is probably pretty good. I think he's probably better now than himself, but I think they made that snap decision last year and moved Gasly down, and I don't think they're going to make another snap decision to move him back up again. They're going to give Albon a bit more time, which they probably should have given Gasly a bit more time.
Right, yeah. I mean, you can go either way with that, but especially with his performance today, I think he was disappointed, and I'm sure the team was disappointed at that. It is interesting, though, when you look at Perez, you know, moving on, where he might end up with the racing points, like you said, soon to be Aston Martin. But, you know, Vettel, you had Leclerc qualify fifth. That was quite a surprise, because Ferrari had not been showing any speed. Vettel is way in the back. He's pretty much checked out for the year, hasn't he?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I really do. And to be honest, I'm not sure that he hasn't checked out of Formula One, really. I mean, yes, they've given him another drive. The fact is that last year and the year before, he had some pretty diabolical mistakes. He's made some pretty diabolical mistakes for a four-time world champion. And, obviously he's dispirited and he's lost interest in all the other cliches, you know. And so he feels down and out. But, in Formula One, you can't afford to do that, as Gasly showed last week.
Yeah, certainly. And, of course, this week they're in it's the Tuscan Grand Prix at Mugello, is it? And
yeah.
Did you have a race there? I don't know if you have a race. It opened up, I think, it's 74.
Well,
that track.
Ask me who won the first ever race at the new Mugello.
Would that be you?
I was going to Google it before I spoke to you, but I did win at Mugello in its first year, 1974, in the Carl Hogan's Formula 5000 car.
Oh,
we ran it in England for a few races. We ran at Silverstone. I won that. We ran at Mallory Park, and I did not win that. And then we went off to do some races in Italy and Europe. And Guy was with us. Guy was with his girlfriend, Kathy, and we went off to Italy and had a fantastic time, because the circuit is only just a very few miles from France. And we had a very good run. And it rained for the race. It rained like hell. In fact, today, they would never have started it. But, of course, in those days, a bit of rain. And I don't know where I qualified, but I overtook a lot of people very early on and swept into the lead. And then they red flagged the race because they said it was too wet. And then the Italian organizers tried not to pay me my money. Because in those days, they gave you starting money, you go for starting money, and they'd pay you prize money as well. And they didn't want to pay, because they said, well, yeah, but Senior Hobbs, the race is shorter, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, yeah, but we still come 2,000-mile round trip to get here and go home again. Anyway, they did cough up the dough in the end, but it was a bit of a season. But I got to Google that and see. I think I won that race. And I think it might have been the first ever race in New York.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And I guess it hasn't changed that much. I thought it was interesting. They actually had on Sky Sports had an interesting with our favorite saltine cracker, Martin Brundle. With that sweeping, that last sweeping turn before the pits, and how the F1 drivers are driving it right on the edge, on the outside, not even pretending to hit any type of apex. What were your thoughts on that when you saw that?
I don't know. There must be maybe there's a sort of camber in the road that we can't see very well, and they find in the outside, it is a bit odd, I have to say. And I'm not quite sure why they're doing that. And of course, you enter the pits off that as well, so you flash into the pit entry at some god almighty speed.
Yeah, because they're going to have to be hard on the binders to get in the pits, because it's not a long pre. I mean, this is not your modern Formula One track, so
and obviously
it has a few design tweaks.
It's not ideal, as we said yesterday, with Perez and Vettel. So they're going to have to modify that a bit, I think. And I think it's a great track, and I think all the drivers absolutely love it. But of course, I suppose Elf and some sort of slow it down and put your gains in, and I don't know if they have another race there, but it obviously deserves a race. It's obviously, it's a great location, and it's a great track. I mean, it's a lovely track.
It certainly is. We're talking to David Hobbs on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline on the Final Inspection Show. And where do you think Sergio Perez is going to end up next year?
I have absolutely no idea, and I can't think where he'll want to go. I really can't. He can't go to Renault. He can't go to McLaren. He can't go to Ferrari. I mean, I see Gunther Steiner from Haas saying, well, he's on the shortlist. Well, I should think he would be from Gunther Steiner's point of view, but
sure.
I can't see how confusing Sergio Perez wanted to go drive a Haas. I mean, you know, he'd probably end up at Alfa Romeo. QB Reichel would probably retire, and he'll probably end up at Alfa Romeo. I can't think of where else he could possibly go.
Yeah, that makes interesting, especially...
But he brings a lot of money, though.
He does, and that's very important.
And Alfa Romeo might be very glad about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, interesting.
Did you see the news, I think it was earlier today, about Formula One? If you want to be a new team, you have to bring in, like, $200 million to the other teams?
They do make it easy to join, don't they?
No, I mean, especially if you lose another team. I mean, I think at this point, wouldn't you want to promote? I mean... You and I had a discussion a couple of years ago when we had Marussian and you had the Virgin team and all these, and I loved it. I think the more the merrier, and you weren't too happy about it. But I mean, I it's not like the late 80s. I don't think it has to be like the late 80s when you had, I mean, you actually had to do pre-qualifying, and you had Pacific, and you had all these small, real minute teams. But I mean, it would be nice to have another two, three teams in Formula One.
Oh, I think it would be. I think you know, if you get a 26 car grid, would be better than 20. Obviously, as long as they're not all a lot slower. But I really think that they could do more teams. And I remember the entry price when they first had talked about reducing the cost of premium. The entry price then was like $40 million. And I used to think, oh, good God. Now it's $200 million. That seems to be totally counterproductive to the John Todd and the Liberty Media who run Formula One. It seems to be counterproductive to what they say they want, which is more teams and smaller budgets. I mean, they're talking about 175 million. Which is a lot smaller than the 500 million. But if it's a 200 million entry fee, it sure doesn't help, does it?
No, it doesn't. And it's a quote here in a motorsport.com article that McLaren CEO Zak Brown said the arrangement would not only ensure that any new entrants are serious, but it also protects the value of the current teams. As a result, sale of Williams to Dorriton Capital for about $180 million proved. So, and that's also dividing up the prize money, too, if you went from 11 teams to 12 teams. So I understand why they're doing it, but I don't necessarily agree with it, I guess.
Well, of course, the established guys have always been against any extension because of the prize money, you know. Obviously, every new team that's in there, it dilutes the prize money. And they don't want to do that. People are already there. Don't want to do that.
Yeah, it certainly is.
No.
Well, David, we certainly appreciate you taking time out. And I don't know if you want to tell the listeners your recent upgrades you've had installed.
Well, I'm wearing a T-shirt. Orthopedic hospital, which says congratulations on your new joint. So, yeah, I had a new knee on Tuesday, so it's still pretty sore, but not too sore to chat to you guys. So, hopefully, I'll be up and running around in about 2 years.
Excellent. All right. Well, we certainly appreciate you taking time out with us and talking some Formula One, and maybe we'll see you up next week for the VSCDA event, the Fall Festival up at Road America. Maybe the listeners might see you up there. So appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again.
All right. Thanks very much, Steve. Bye.
All right. Thanks, David. That was David Hobbs on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Has your passion outgrown your home? The Great Midwest Bank Home Renovation Loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit GreatMidwestBank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935.
When we come back, we're going to talk from RacingNation.com. Eddie Lapine, we're going to talk some IndyCar racing and sports car racing coming up next. Welcome back to the Final Inspection Show. Steve Zotke. We'd like to thank David Hobbs Honda and, of course, the legendary Great Lakes Dragway for their support of the show. Joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline from RacingNation.com, it is Fast Eddie Lapine. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
We're doing fantastic. A little wet. I'm down here in Chicago, but it looks like it finally stopped in Milwaukee. But it looks like it should be letting up here finally in a little bit. I want to jump right in. We're going to talk some sports car racing to kick things off. And I wanted to get your opinion here. IMSA revealed their 2021 season for next year. And it looks good. You got 12 events on the calendar. But they also added the caveat that they're going to we're going to have an LMP3 class. So we're going to have three prototype classes, and that's to bolster the car counts, which, let's admit, it's been a struggle for the prototypes. There's always been an ebb and flow with the prototypes with entries. And what do you think of that, Eddie?
Well, I think it's good. I knew it was coming, but I think it's going to make a little more exciting racing, too, because of the younger drivers that are in that class.
Is it something they could have maybe did something where... we'll try and get Eddie back here in just a moment here. But, my opinion, I think it would have been nice if they, because the LMP cars, you're only running two or three cars at this point. And I thought it would have been a way to maybe, through weight or engine performance, just kind of combine the two. Because, I mean, let's face it, LMP2, you only have a few cars there. Why not just combine the two classes? We'll get Eddie's opinion on that when he comes back here. But looking at the schedule, it looks pretty good here. Of course, the IMSA season's going to start off at the Rolex 24 at Daytona on July 28th through the 31st, and then it goes to St. Patrick's Day, looks like March 17th, the 12 hours of Sebring. Eddie, welcome back. I was saying before we lost you.
Talking about the weather, and we're having a storm. our power's out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So we got something in common.
I was thinking, what if, with the LMP2 cars, you only have two or three cars in a race. Isn't there a way through a balance of performance or something where you could have just combined those two classes?
I think you're right. I think that they should review the LMP2 because I think just overall. Remember a couple years ago when PC was going to be a big prototype class?
Right, yep.
That just fizzled down to two cars. And, quite honestly, I think you can't have two cars running in a class. It just doesn't make sense. And I think that's something they should look at, but I think the LMP3 could be a 10 to 12 car, boost to the series.
Sure.
Seeing that we're losing Porsche at the end of the year, and I would say that BMW will probably be next in the Michelin class right now, that I just think that we just have lots of situations going on right now with this pandemic has not helped the whole racing paternity, so to speak, because I think what's happening is it's just expediting, you know, people that can't afford to do it, your privateers that are dropping out, and the manufacturers are going other directions in these times. So I think it is a good move, but I think they'll have to tweak it as they go along. And IMSA's been pretty good doing that.
Yeah, and we've seen this throughout the many years of IMSA and other car series where manufacturers come in and the sanctioning bodies want to kowtow to the manufacturers with all the money and the promotion they bring in with it. I mean, but then, you know, they kind of turn their back on the privateers. The manufacturers win their championships. They move on. And then they're wondering where all the privateers went. So it certainly is
Bingo.
A balance.
You're totally right, Steve. You hit it right on the head. They try to curtail it to bring the manufacturers. And as you know, we've already heard now, Penske will be out of the Acura deal. And I don't see anybody putting their hand up as a privateer to run that operation. It's too costly. And I think it's detrimental to the series to lose Acura, a big manufacturer, and they're trying to shop right now to get somebody to run the deal, but you know, they'll probably lay down a budget, and that's kind of like what happened with Roger, I think, with Penske. They went and they said they needed X amount of dollars, and don't forget they have the highest paid drivers in the paddock in their cars this year, so. And I think that didn't help the situation.
No, it didn't. It certainly did not. Let's switch gears to IndyCar racing there. We're doing two at Mid-Ohio. It's funny that I was talking with David Landa last week about it, wondering is Mid-Ohio going to happen or not? And not more than a half hour after the show, IndyCar made the announcement that they actually are going to run Mid-Ohio this week. So it's funny. It's interesting just how fast and fluid these schedules are in these racing series. You basically had a race that was canceled or postponed. We didn't know it was going to happen, and then boom, they announce it. Not only do they announce it, but they're announcing that they're going to have it 6 days or 7 days later. So they're running two races at Mid-Ohio this weekend, and they had opening practice, and it was Ryan Hunter Ray quick so far for Andretti Autosport. Kind of interesting, Eddie, especially when we've seen such dominance at Scott Dixon at this track. And not only that, but also he's been just so dominant this year too.
Well, and they just finished the first group, and the second group of qualifying is taking place right now. Will Power was the fastest, and it was amazing because I think Dixon was ninth fastest. He got bumped down to ninth fastest, and even in the interview with him after, I think he just got a bad set of tires, it sounded like, because he had no grip. But I think it's going to be – it's kind of interesting the way racing, like even with NASCAR and with no practice, the limited amount of practice. They had one practice session today. They're qualifying right now on the track, and then the race – the first race is going to take place a few hours later at 4:30 Eastern. And it really makes the teams work because Pato O'Ward crashed in the session. They got the car fixed. And I think he was like fourth or fifth fastest. So it's kind of – it puts their backs against the wall too for the teams if they do have a problem. But – I think it's fun that they're doing like at Road America where they did the two races on two different days. It's good for the fans, and they had 6,000. They let 6,000 people in there at Mid-Ohio, and as they said on the radio, they were sold out. So.
Yeah. Well, and that's a real strong race. That's kind of like Honda's home race. They have a manufacturing facility there in Ohio, and that, and Honda is really embraced and supported that race for many, many years. So I'm sure they certainly want to see that race happen. And I'm kind of curious to know how much of those are Honda employees or you know, movers and shakers, and how much are the fans. It'd be interesting to see. But certainly good to see Mid-Ohio this weekend. You get to see two races out there. Anything else you want to bring up with IndyCar that kind of tripped your trigger this week?
Well, I just think these younger drivers are just adding a different, they have such a stellar, another rookie field this year, and I think it's going to be an exciting race in a few hours.
Yeah, it certainly is. And you look at, you know, what, not even like even from last year, Felix Rosenquist, what he's been able to accomplish so far this year with Ganassi. And then you have, we brought it up when we had him on the show a couple weeks ago, Michael Shank Racing, with them finally being able to step up full time and seeing what Jack Harvey's been able to do and his progression. Incrementally, week by week, he just seems to get a little bit better and better. And then, of course, you have, you know, the guys like Pat O'Warr and Vikas and all these guys who have been just so fun to watch. So, yeah, they certainly have brought a lot of excitement to IndyCar racing, Eddie.
Well, definitely. And I think it's, you know, I mean, it's the hottest ticket in town right now, I have to say. And I think these races will show that here, definitely.
Yeah, it certainly will. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to bring the Polish Pipe Bomb back on. We're going to do predictions for Richmond this weekend and Mid-Ohio coming up next on the Final Inspection Show.
This is Final Inspection with Steve Zocchi, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with our friends at David Hobbs Honda. And I just want to give our listeners a reminder, on September 20th of this year, on a Sunday, at the New Berlin, VFW is the next Hales Corners reunion. Make sure you check that out. They should be running from 10 to 6 p.m. That's at the VFW in New Berlin. I believe that's off of Howard Avenue, west of Moreland, if I recall. 10 to 6, make sure you get out there. They're going to have lots of old drivers from Hales Corner Speedway will be out there in the area, along with some race cars and whatnot, and a memorabilia show. So if you're interested in getting a table at the memorabilia show, make sure you get a hold of Ralph Jr. at Greenfield Gallery. You can find them online in Maquanago. Get a hold of Ralph Hibbert Jr. and for if you want to display and sell stuff at their memorabilia show that they're going to have at the Hales Corners reunion. That's September 20th from 10 to 6 at the New Berlin VFW. And joining me once again on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline from RacingNation.com, it is Eddie Lapine, and the Polish Pipe Bomb is back too. So we're going to do predictions here, and we got.
Maybe I'll come up there for it. Maybe they'll have some Crazy Jim Demolition Derby used race parts that I smashed in 30 years ago.
Yeah, we need to talk to Pat Heaney. We need to get some Crazy Jim Demo Derby T-shirts made up. That would be cool. That would be fun to see again.
I'd be in. Well, I'm going to come up next weekend anyways to, you know, go shop at David Hobbs Honda. David said he'd meet me there and let me test drive a couple new Hondas.
There's some nice ones out there. Pipe Bomb, you with us?
I am here.
All right, we got Richmond this weekend. Who do you? I think we're just going to do the Cup and the two IndyCar races. So, who do you like for the Cup race?
Well, I unfortunately am going to have to take your favorite driver, Steve, and go with Joey Logano
win
tonight at Richmond.
All right, Eddie, who do you like?
I'm going with Harvick.
Harvick, okay. I'm going to go with Hamlin. I like Hamlin, even though the betting money has been on Truex too. Either war, if you go up to the window and you put money on Harvick or Hamlin or Truex. I think those are going to be good picks. Let's turn our attention to Mid-Ohio running two races this weekend at the twisty track at Mid-Ohio. Who do you like, Jeff, for both races? Give us two picks.
I'm going to take Will Power in one of them and Simon Pagenaud in the other.
Yeah, and we're not going to say this is for this one. We're just going to give two drivers, so either or. So you get both.
I'll take both
drivers.
The Power Man and the Frenchman.
All right, Eddie, who do you like?
Power and Dixon.
Power and Dixon. Okay, I am gonna. Oh boy, I am gonna go with Dixon and Pagenaud, and I hope Austin is writing these down. Or somebody's
sure
writing these down.
That's so, what we got playback right. for.
So, Austin, we certainly appreciate those. And if you text those over to Jeff and I, we'll put those on the Final Inspection Facebook page. If you haven't liked our page, please do. That's TFI, the Final Inspection Show on Facebook. And we post not only our picks there, but lots of interesting photos from the Pat Heaney collection, courtesy of Scott Krieger. We certainly appreciate his submissions. A lot of neat stuff, especially old race photos from the Milwaukee Mile. And then we post the latest from Eddie Lapine and Jack Webster and all the great team there at RacingNation.com. And then the latest breaking news, we put it up there. So, Jeff, anything else you want to cover before we leave?
Well, we didn't really talk about Bubba Wallace leaving Richard Petty racing, and I think it's going to be interesting because he did say that part of his contract, he was part owner of that team. So for him to move to another team, I'm sure he's going to have to sell his portion before he moves to a different ride. But, you know, so Bubba out of the 43 next year opens up possibly a seat for good old Eric Jones.
Yeah, that does make sense because there's been some talk of Denny Hamlin getting into some ownership role. And if you think of it, if Joe Gibbs really wants to do a satellite team correctly, and what better way than to put Denny Hamlin in a situation where he can be part ownership, although I don't know why they wouldn't do that with KBM, with Kyle Busch Motorsports. But it's interesting to see if anything has changed, or is this a deal with Toyota? Toyota maybe want to increase their footprint a little bit in the Cup Series. So maybe if they do somehow, I don't even know how this will work at this point. Let's put it this way. There'd be a lot of lawyers involved in this, Jeff and Eddie, especially when you got ownership stakes and whatnot. But with Denny Hamlin and Toyota doing something, it'd be interesting to see. And not necessarily with Denny driving, of course. But that could happen
in two years.
So we'll see what happens. Eddie?
The lawyers will be the ones that benefit, and you could probably use all the money to sponsor another car with all the lawyer fees.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think that Gibbs really cares about having a satellite team. We saw how bad he stuck it to Martin Truex when Truex was at Furniture Row, and they started kicking Gibbs' ass on a week-in, week-out basis. So I don't think he really wants to get Denny Hamlin or some other quality A-list driver behind the wheel of a team that's not 100% owned by him.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily him, though. I think it's Toyota. I think Toyota wants to add another team, and what better way to do it than that way. Guys, we certainly appreciate you coming on the show. When we come back, we're going to hear from Martin Truex Jr. and get his feedback on the Richmond race coming up next on the Final Inspection Show.
Hey, Martin, appreciate your time. Earlier, Chase was on the call, and he said he thinks you guys are okay, and there's a mutual respect there. I'm just curious to get your take on, you know, the whole thing, and if you guys are okay, and if that's just a natural factor of playoff intensity, the incident last week.
Yeah, I think, I would definitely agree with that, you know. Just kind of one of those racing deals where it was it was obviously really close. It was pretty much going to be, the pass for the win in my eyes. But, you know, I feel like in that moment we both made a split second decision and tried to kind of anticipate or think what the other would do. And I think we both guessed wrong, to be honest with you. So, yeah, just, you know, really close, obviously nobody's fault. I don't think you can really, you know, pin the blame on one guy. Just, you know, kind of racing deals, unfortunate for both of our teams.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
No problem. Thanks, Woody.
Okay, we're going to go to Bob Pockris. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, so Martin, are you thinking that he's going to lift in that situation? And I'm also curious, when you see the replay, are you like, did it look worse than what you thought it was at the time?
You know, honestly, Bob, in the moment I thought, you know, I had enough momentum. And I said in my interview after the race was, I thought I had the momentum. I thought I was going to be able to get him cleared. You know, and then that the very last second that I seen that, you know, he was kind of just right there on the corner, you know, there was no way for me to, you know, keep from sliding up the hill. I mean, it's Darlington, you know, once you commit to the turn, especially, you know, with a bad angle, you're going to use up all the racetrack. So, yeah, I mean, I honestly thought that, you know, I knew it was close. But at that moment, you know, I couldn't do anything. I was committed. So, yeah, just the way it worked out.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Claire B. Lane. Go ahead, Claire.
Thank you. When you think about Richmond in the playoffs, what are your thoughts? I mean, you're such a consistent driver. You don't get wigged out. You don't think about aggression. You guys are aggressive all the time. But what are your thoughts about it in general?
I look forward to it. You know, I think great racetrack, you know, I love going there and it puts on a great show. So, you know, obviously last year we had a lot of success there, and really the past, you know, the past handful of seasons, it's been a really great track for our team. So, you know, I think anytime you go to a place that, you know, you've had recent success, you know, especially when it's in the playoffs, it's a bonus. So excited to go there and, you know, hopefully, you know, it'd be nice to get a win. It's been a little while.
In general, what's Martin Truex Jr.'s philosophy in racing short tracks? Like, what's your mindset?
You know, I think it's I guess a little bit different for each one. I think, you know, at Richmond, I just focus on the things that we've been able to work on to be better there, and you know, just try to remember, you know, kind of the things we've been working on, and you know, how to approach the driving part of it as far as, you know, tire saving and how hard to push and what kind of, you know, balance you need throughout the race to be good at the end.
Good luck. All right. Good luck.
Thanks, Claire.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to take our next question from Nick with the Richmond Suburban Newspapers. Go ahead, Nick.
Good afternoon, Martin. So you have been undefeated in Virginia across the last four races, Martinsville last two, and Richmond, of course, sweep last year. You know, and all four have come with JGR. What would you say you've kind of found with this organization since joining them, knowing the success they've had at Richmond, of course, at Martinsville as well? What, you know, as far as communicating with them, guys on the team, what have you guys just kind of found to basically break your, you know, short track streak, winless streak back then, and then now you have four straight?
Yeah, you know, I think it's just, it's kind of a, you know, a deal where we got to working on certain things and, you know, trying to get the car to do certain things that I like it to do. And you know, working with the same group of guys for, you know, a few years there, obviously at Furniture Row, it kind of began. And, you know, being able to go to JGR with, you know, basically the same race cars and a lot of the same people and just continue really to work in those same directions in those same areas. So, you know, I think, you know, short tracks are places that are very unique and, you know, things that have worked in the past, typically you can carry through and use them for seasons. So just the things that we've been working on, you know, for me particularly, I guess, not only the way I drive, my style, but, you know, making the car complement that. And obviously, you know, great team and great race car. So it's really just a matter of putting all the pieces together and continuing to refine on them over the years.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Marty with ROC Sports. Go ahead, Marty.
Thanks, Amanda. Hello there, fellow Martin. Hope you're doing well, man. First off, I like the deer you got in the background. That's pretty cool.
Thanks.
I want to ask you about the news that came out earlier this week, Auto Club being reconfigured into a short track. What's your take on that?
I actually just heard it yesterday, I guess. My crew chief let me know. I hadn't seen anything about it. So I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of a little bit sad, I guess. You know, I really enjoyed California Speedway. Great racetrack. You know, I feel like the older it's gotten, the more fun it was to drive and to race on. So I'm a little bit disappointed from that standpoint. But, you know, anytime there's a new track, there's excitement, and it'll be cool to see what they come up with. You know, I don't know any of the details at all. So be interesting to see what they build there.
Thanks for your time, Aaron. Good luck to you this weekend.
Thank you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.